Water transport. Water transportation forms an important part of domestic and international trade. It includes several categories: inland waterways, lakes, coastal and intercoastal ocean, and international deep sea. In international shipping, water is the dominant mode, and it is the most inexpensive method of shipping high bulk, low value commodities. Capabilities. Water carriers can handle huge loads, measured either in weight or size. A barge traveling slowly down the Rhine or some other European waterway, for example, might be loaded down with 1,500 metric tons, or tons of high-density cargo, approximately 1,654 U.S. tons, while a fully loaded semi-trailer truck traveling across a bridge above it carries only 7 metric tons, 7.7 U.S. tons, and itself weighs approximately 36.3 metric tons, 40 U.S. tons. In other words, the barge could hold the weight equivalent of more than 30 fully loaded double trailer trucks. Rather like trains, however, barges and other floating carriers find their most fitting use in conveying low-value, high-density cargo over long distances, with loading and unloading accomplished mechanically. Probably the largest vessels on the water are the oil tankers. They are usually classified by function and size. There are two functional types of the vessels: the crude tankers, which carry unrefined crude oil from the field to refineries, and the product tankers, which carry petrochemicals from refineries to market areas. Sizes range from inland or coastal tankers to gigantic supertankers. Most newer tankers have a double hull, thereby creating extra safety space between the storage tanks and the hull. Each very large ship can transport 2 million barrels of oil. In light of recent serious oil spills in oceans, both the U.S. and the EU have passed laws regarding pollution and double hull requirements that are in effect as of 2015 and 2010, respectively. The primary benefits that water transport provide the logistics manager include low cost and sustainability. At less than a penny charge per ton mile, shipping by water is even cheaper than using a train. Water carriers also make highly efficient use of fuel. According to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which cites the American Waterway Foundation, 1 gallon of fuel moves 1 ton of cargo, for example, ton miles, 647 miles by inland barge, 477 miles by train, and only 145 miles by truck. From a sustainability perspective, this means that compared to the baseline of one barge, rail releases 43% more grams of CO2 per ton mile, and trucks release 800% more grams of CO2 per ton mile, according to a tugboat, and barge sustainability video released by the American Waterways operators. Water transport can also relieve congestion on crowded highways, a significant consideration in the European Union and near urban centers generally. In the Asian region, more than 1 billion tons of freight moves by inland water carrier annually on waterways such as the Yangtze and the Ganges, and 1/3 or more of all cargo travels by water in Bangladesh, the Lao People's Democratic Republic, and Myanmar. In some areas of Asia where there are few roads or railroads, waterways constitute the sole means of connecting remote rural communities to urban centers. Shipping containers play a big role in domestic and most international water shipments. In fact, it has been said that containerization has transformed global trade in manufactured goods as dramatically as jet planes have changed the way we travel and the internet has changed the way we communicate. The shipper places cargo into a container at its facility. The container is then transported by rail or trucking carriage to a water port for loading onto a container ship. After arrival at the port, the container is unloaded and loaded onto a rail or trucking carrier and delivered to the customer. Containers are typically 8 feet/2.44 meters high by 8 feet/2.44 meters wide and of various lengths, from 20 feet/6.1 meters to 53 feet/16.15 meters. Many new container ships are capable of carrying 18,000 20-foot equivalent units, TEUs, or the equivalent of that many 20-foot containers. The largest vessel can carry 23,964 TEUs. But the container is much more than a box and has become increasingly sophisticated. Depending upon the cargo, there are stringent container temperature and storage requirements. Market conditions. In the United States, water transport has remained stable, in the range of 15 to 17% of total ton-miles over the past five decades. During that time, however, the portion of that amount due to Great Lakes shipping on the five freshwater lakes of central North America between the United States and Canada, connecting Midwestern U.S. ports with the Atlantic Ocean via the Street Lawrence Seaway, has declined to a fraction of its peak in the 1950s, while river and canal transport have increased to make up the difference. The ships used on the Great Lakes are deep water vessels, which can harbor only in deep water ports such as those on the lakes or the coasts. Canal and river transport relies on flat-bottomed barges with more flexibility as to where they can travel. In the EU, freight moves on such major rivers as the Rhine, the Rhone, the Danube, and their many tributary canals. According to a 2020 article in Port News, in 2019, China had 127,000 kilometers of inland waterways, first in the world, upon which were shipped 3.913 million tons of freight that year. Of the 19,000 kilometers of high-level inland waterways planned to be ready by 2020, for example, suitable for larger barges, 13,400 miles had reached the desired standard by the end of 2019. The Yangtze, one of its major rivers for transporting coal and steel, had 2.39 billion tons of freight that year, also a first-place record. The network is continuing to grow in efficiency and profitability. The primary products transported on inland waterways include commodities such as cement, chemicals, and some agricultural products. U.S. Great Lakes vessels mostly carry ore, coal, and grain. The bulk of this trade qualifies for exemption from government economic regulation. These exemptions, combined with low fixed costs that amount somewhere between rail and road, mean that shippers can afford to transport goods in their own vessels rather than hiring a third-party carrier, like trucks. And unlike trains, water carriers are relatively affordable. The waterways, like highways, are maintained by the taxpayers. Despite the worldwide economic downturn in recent years, maritime transport has continued to grow. According to information by Statistica, in 2020, container ship capacity was 275 million metric tons of cargo compared to approximately 11 million metric tons in 1980. These and other modes of transport moved 1.83 billion metric tons of cargo in containers in 2017, one quarter of all cargo by weight and one half of all cargo by value. According to Costamare Incorporated, containerized cargo trade tripled between 2000 and 2017, which was twice the rate of the growth in GDP. Maritime container volume is also continuing to grow. The area of oil transport has also shown significant growth. Per Statistica, the world's oil tanker fleet's capacity grew by over 77% to about 601 million deadweight tonnage from 1980 to 2020, and this reflects about 29% of global ocean trade. Issues/challenges. There are two obvious drawbacks that might prevent a logistics manager from using water transport: limited accessibility and lack of speed. There are fewer miles of inland waterways than there are roads and railroad tracks. And if the shipper and the recipient have no direct access to a port, they have to use another mode of transportation to get products to and from the carrier. Once on the water, progress is slow on a barge or in a deep water vessel. Not only are barges or the diesel engine vehicle that tows them slow moving, but on natural waterways they must make their way through a series of locks. When rail lines run parallel to a waterway, trains make strong competitors for water carriers for transporting the kinds of heavy, low-value goods carried on barges. The trade-off is between the greater speed of the train and the far lower rates for water transport. Barges using major waterways must compete with other important uses, such as passenger transport, fishing, recreation, drinking water, nature conservancy, and energy generation. Discharges from cargo carriers can be a significant source of pollution, along with runoff from mining and agriculture, and pollution is incompatible with the competing uses of rivers for recreation and drinking water. Some of the major waterways in Europe, which pass through many countries with separate and various levels of regulation, have become seriously polluted over the years. Globalization has increased the need for efficient and reliable international transport routes and networks. Their development requires creating new infrastructure or upgrading existing national and international infrastructures to accommodate the increase in maritime traffic volumes. the use of containers for intermodal logistics can reduce staffing needs, minimize in-transit damage and pilferage, and shorten transit time. But there can be problems at the ports impacting the timeliness of unloading containers from ocean liners. In some countries, the shortage of containers can limit supply chain capabilities. The increase in import volumes, aging port equipment, shortage of rail capacities, and limited numbers of truck drivers and carriers can lead to delays. For example, the 2015 U.S. West Coast port strikes created severe backlogs for the trucking and container/tanker shipping industries. With 70% of imports from Asia coming through the West Coast, the strike impacted all organizations shipping or awaiting their goods. Ports were gridlocked, and dozens of container ships were queued for miles during the 9-month strike. Some supply chain managers had to resort to expensive air shipment, including Fuji Heavy Industries, which flew parts to its Subaru auto plants, adding approximately $59 million U.S. per month in transportation costs. The risk that terrorist organizations could use the mechanisms of international trade and commerce poses additional considerations, including specific concerns that containers could be used to transport dangerous goods or carry out large-scale attacks. The challenge is to advance port and maritime container security while ensuring continued free movement of legitimate trade.